Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for tonight's show, we're going to talk about how you've personally grown and evolved in 2020. And it's just a suggestion you might want to think along both practical and spiritual lines. So let me welcome Kat. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you, and Happy New Year to you, David, and to everybody listening out there.
Thank you. Same to you, and likewise to everybody that's listening. Boy, 2020 went in a snap, and what a year it was, eh?
Well, it was a historically changing year for everybody. Many blessings, many not so much blessings. And a lot of introspection for a lot of people, I think, was caused by that.
I'm sure.
We all know the question marks that are around certain organizations in the world in regards to what happened with the pandemic, and certainly my country, Australia's stand on that. And I think that a lot of the freedom-loving nations of the world are also standing with us and asking a lot of hard questions in regards to the pandemic. It's interesting that this virus is beginning to mutate so rapidly. I'm just a layperson, but it's mutating far more rapidly than a natural-born virus would, which again lends to the educated summarization that many people have that it was a manufactured virus. So here it is. We can't do anything about the fact that it's with us now. We have to learn to live with it. And what has it brought to many people? Well, I mean, I talk about your country, David, because your country is USA, and you have a lot of issues going on there.
Oh, yes. I think the pandemic has been the largest issue of the year, but the politics have been absolutely outrageous. And from my perspective, I'm very hopeful about what's going to transpire in the next 4 years under the new presidency. But even just getting to that point is a big question mark in terms of what the current president is saying he's going to do. And I heard today, not directly, but I heard through somebody else, that quote-unquote President Trump has been trying to coerce officials down in the state of Georgia to try to invalidate or either invalidate votes or to come up with some more votes for him. I'm not sure that I understand it exactly, but the point is that he's trying to play dirty pool.
Yeah, well, look, in the world of politics, and in particular USA politics, I'm not well schooled. I'm well schooled in Australian politics. I grew up with politics. Both my parents were heavily involved with it. And my father is a life member of a political party here in Australia. And I grew up with heavy hitting politicians rocking up to my house and ringing up my phone. I was answering the phone to people who had a lot of power, and I was just a kid, I didn't know. But I certainly was involved with politics and know and understand Australian politics quite deeply through the 80s, 90s and noughties. I began to pull away from it in last decade because I began to feel quite disgusted by it. I started to see that both sides of the political landscape were quite similar in the way that they were acting, and I did not see that they were acting for the greater good of our people. And now it's come to light that the CCP were digging their way into Australian politics, and that must be why I was feeling the way I was, because I'd started to just find myself disgusted with them all. As far as USA politics, I've read a little bit about it. I've actually got a friend, Bob Smith, who I met through internet radio. He came to Australia. He's from the USA, and I sat him down and asked him a bunch of questions about USA politics. And I also asked another friend, Jan, who is an expat from New York, and I still left confused because your political system is quite complex. And, you know, the problem with something that's very complex is that it's easy to manipulate because there's a lot of loopholes. So it just seems like dirty politics is being played everywhere, unfortunately. And who are the losers in that? The people. And we really need a new system. We really need a new way, because this landscape has been brewing up for a very long time. I watched a documentary recently that showed the political landscape from the BC times till now in China, and clearly defines how it's been rolling forward to the place that it is now. So this isn't brand new. The world landscape, the political systems in the countries that we abide, it's not new that things are stinky. And it's unfortunate. But at least now, David, I think that things are really rising to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
All that stinky bacteria that was brewing away at the bottom of the pond, it's all coming up and being aired, and people are starting to become more and more aware of what's going on. And these cowardly people who are hiding behind ideologies that are held by common people for the greater good, and then using that guise to push their own system of ideology is just disgusting. And there I'm talking about the Black Lives Matter. That is openly, if you look into it, and there are plenty of educated African American people on the internet that you can see who are disgusted by it. It is run by Marxists. It's run by three women in particular who are Marxists, who have been interviewed on mainstream media, who say that they want to get rid of the nuclear family in society, and they want to get rid of the police system in society. They are, in my mind, cowards, because they're standing behind an ideology that everybody who is a decent human-loving human being wants, which is equality amongst the races, and a deep, heartfelt apology towards people who've suffered. And in this particular case, it's people who have darker skin. We all bleed the same colour. So these scumbags are trashing the beautiful country that you live in, that my family members live in. And that deeply upsets me. And that is something that has been revealed in 2020. And I wish that it wasn't true. But those of you who are shocked or don't believe me, please research it, because it is true. And it's very unfortunate that for a long time, the political system, as far as I understand, in the USA, was that they did not want socialists there. Well, socialists have been infiltrating for a while, and it's all coming to a head. And we saw a documentary recently by investigative journalists about the state of Seattle. And I was brought to tears. I was so sad.
Terrible stuff up there in Seattle. And
yeah.
I'm sure that it has led to a lot of different states for people, including opportunities for personal growth. But when you're dealing with a system that is corrupt and deeply flawed, and I need to do some research on what you were talking about, because I wasn't aware of some of the repercussions of that group. But I do believe that every individual, every group has found arenas in which they have grown and evolved. And hopefully, as humankind moves forward, we will become more kind than we have been. So.
Yes, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I do believe compassion is the key to move us forward in a loving manner, and one in which all people can be appreciated and valued, no matter what backgrounds or creeds or whatever they possess. So, Kat, let me ask you. I mean, we can talk about some of the dynamics of personal growth, but what areas have you found yourself growing and evolving this past year?
I really had to look at my career and really evaluate where I was going with that. That started to brew in 2019 when the first physical evidence of me needing to look at my career was that I wanted to change my server platform from WordPress.com over to WordPress.org so that I could then monetize a little bit better than what I was, because I was struggling with things like getting a scheduler onto my system without having to pay a lot of money and things like that. So I did a bit of research and I bought a 3-year subscription to a particular server that would then link me in with WordPress.org, but didn't matter how hard I tried, I could not build a website. And I have been building websites for myself since 2006 or 7. So, you know, like building so not hard if you know how to do it. And I'd been doing it for that long, but I found it impossible to build a website on Windows.org. I was being blocked somehow. And in the process, I had saved my website to my hard drive, but I had lost it off of the internet. So no one could find me unless they found me on Facebook. So that was the first big thing, was like, oh my goodness, doesn't matter how hard I try, I can't get this going. And I began to ask myself why. And I started to have an existential crisis in regards to my career and my career path, and who I am in my career and what I truly wanted out of that career. And so 2020 has given me the space, because I started to pull back from different parts of my career after that. And then by March of 2020, the lockdown had happened in Australia, which I think it had happened everywhere, but I can only talk about my country as far as my experience goes. And I had back-to-back bookings, clients, and corporate events. And it was all cancelled, the whole lot. And I went from earning a nice little income to having nothing in the bank at all. And that was hard to take. But maybe because of the nature of my work, because I do spiritual work, I don't know. But anonymous people, and a couple of people who were not anonymous, but anonymous people were donating to my business out of the blue. And that actually kept it going because there were certain, you know, things that I had to pay to keep my little business going. And I thank those people from the bottom of my heart because that kept the money, kept my little business going. And it also meant that the universe was saying to me, we don't want you to stop doing your spiritual work, but you now have to change direction with it. So that's where I started to think, how can I still help people? How can I still do my spiritual teaching? How can I still evolve myself so that I can continue to help people in a mature fashion? How can I review and grow? And so I have. And really 2020 gave me that space. How about you, David?
Well, while you were talking, I was also looking at something that talked about how personal growth is caused by change, and quite often it's a new, unusual stimulus. And as you were talking about COVID, I was thinking about what an unusual stimulus that was. And it causes us to experience new and unique things or learn new ideas. Well, I think the one lesson that's come to me through COVID, and I'll get down to more practical matters too, but it's given me more of a desire to stay connected to people, even as we've had to isolate ourselves from others to a certain extent. And I've come to realize how important certain relationships are in my life, my primary relationships with my partner, my father, my best friend, Al, and a handful of other friends that I count to be true. And I've spent a lot of time this year connecting with them, thanks to modern technology via the telephone and the internet. And it's been a wonderfully intimate experience for me, but I miss the hugs. I really, really miss the hugs. So that's one thing that's affected us all at a global level, and it's affected me, as I'm sure it's affected everybody, in unique ways. I think the biggest thing that I've learned has been my personal power. Without being too specific, I'll just say that I took a huge step this year in personally affirming that my needs are valid and that I'm okay as I am and that I deserve to be okay. And so I stepped out of my comfort zone and made a major life transition, which also involved pain for somebody else. And I had to learn to, and this is a really hard thing for me to do, I had to learn to detach and to recognize that I'm not responsible for other people's needs or feelings. But I also had to realize that my own behaviors can manifest in ways that are positive or negative for other people. And so I've learned some areas that I need to work on to remain true to myself and to other people. I'm trying to think. I had some other ideas. Well, as a part of that, I feel like my spirit is starting to bloom again. It had been kind of dormant for a while, but I feel more connected to the energy of the universe. I feel like I'm starting to vibrate at a higher level so that I'm not falling prey to negative emotions. And there are no good or bad feelings as far as I'm concerned, but let's face it, some feel good and some don't feel good. And I've had to deal with both of those things. And that's helped me to get a little more real. I think that a lot of us wear masks and do whatever we can to hide or run from or stuff feelings. And God knows I have been a master at that. through various behaviors, and I don't need to do that. And one of the things that I've learned in connection with that is that I really do need to stay focused on the present. I've heard it said in 12-step programs, one day at a time, but that's not enough. It really isn't. And for anybody that's recovering, it's 1 second at a time. And I think that's a lot healthier, because when I am in the second or in that split second in time, I am present, I'm conscious, I'm aware of thoughts and feelings, I'm more aware of the words that I put out there that can either build up or tear down, and I just feel more aligned with my spirit. I don't know how else to put it. So that would be my essential answer to you, Kat.
Yeah, so that aligning to your spirit, that's really important, isn't it? Because that just makes you feel more on purpose with your life. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I align myself with my spirit, then I have a sense I have a personal compass. I have a sense of direction. And one of the things that I had been neglecting has been my writing. And I've started doing that again, very slowly. It's like unearthing some kind of a treasure that, like an archaeologist would do, having to just take a little brush and brush away the dirt a little bit at a time so as not to damage the artifact. And I used to write 6 to 10 hours a day, and right now I'm lucky if I'm doing it a couple of hours a day, but at least I'm starting to gain a foothold in something that had been very important to me.
Yeah, and that creative process, being in that flow, is something that has a magic to it. And without that, you know, that might take you away from the feeling of being connected to your soul and to your life's purpose as well. So it's really good that you're getting back into your writing and getting back into that state that really feeds you.
Well, for me, creativity comes directly from spirit. And when I am in a place where I'm being creative, I feel like I'm manifesting an abundance of goodness within me and within my life. And I feel like I do have a sense of purpose, and that it is unfolding for me. And I'm going with the flow instead of resisting. And it's all good. It really is. I'm very, very happy for the direction I'm headed in once again.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting that both of us have had obviously different life experiences in 2020, but similar in some respects in that there was an upheaval in our household and a change. I moved house, but you had a significant person move out of your house. And though that was amicable, it still had a big effect on both of you. And now that you're coming out of that, and like it's all the hardship around that has begun to heal and wash away, you're now beginning to see the positive effects of it. So again, like a blessing in disguise has happened there.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, things take time, though, don't they?
Absolutely. And I must say one thing. I will be placed on a pillar of fire if I don't correct the term I use to describe somebody in my life who I refer to as a partner. It's my husband. So if he's listening, my apologies. And I think he may be listening tonight. We also do have Al on in the studio tonight, and perhaps he'd like to reflect on his own personal growth and evolution. Shall I click over to Al?
I'd love to hear from Al.
Okay.
Hi, Kat and David.
Hi.
Hi, Al. I guess what's happened for me in 2020 is I think I have a renewed sense of hope and empowerment. And, you know, we saw so much negativity en masse in 2020. But we also saw groups of people come together trying to make change in their world, claiming some empowerment, putting forth positivity, and just seeing that that made a difference, that that has made a difference, has been very encouraging. And I think it encourages me to step out of isolationism into being more active in my world. I want to head in that direction. So that's, I think that's one thing that's happened in 2020. I think the other thing is so much of when we weren't isolated at home, it was so easy to be running around, attending to tasks, doing the everyday things that we do. And I agree with what was said by you guys that having this time at home, often alone, really also for me increased my sense of wanting to be connected, noticing my friendships, noticing people who are important in my life. And it also, you know, I found myself expanding during this time, connecting with other people, some people that I hadn't connected with in years. You know, it just, and noticing the value of those relationships, just being there with other people, even over Zoom or telephone calls, or I think, and you know, part of that has just come with age too, about wanting to stay connected and noticing the importance of friendships. But it's really been emphasized here during during this year. I think maybe we've all, because of COVID, are paying more attention to our health. I think even after COVID is gone, I think that we're probably going to be noticing where we're doing well with our health and where we're not, that maybe we hadn't really paid much attention before. It's, I think 2020 kind of made us all feel a little vulnerable around health. And there's a good and bad side to that. And I think maybe the good side of it is that it got our attention to noticing what's going on in our bodies and how we're feeling and that we need to do things to keep ourselves healthy. So that's been a place of growth, I think, too. And unlike a lot of other people, I actually lost a lot of weight during this past year.
I got the COVID belly for a while there. Oh my god!
I did too.
I lost
so much weight. I needed to gain some back. So I had fun doing that, just to kind of be in a better place in the weight zone. But you know, it was. I think the place of growth there is noticing that is around dealing with stress. Because it's been a stressful time this past year for all of us. And usually when I'm under stress, I wanna eat. It's my go-to place for feeling better. And, you know, the fact I was able to do that during this time period with COVID and all the stress of that, I don't know, it kind of tells me that you know, I'm getting better and better at noticing my feelings about stuff. I'll give you an example. I mean, I've been overtired today, and when I'm overtired, I've got a real pull to go eat something to make myself feel better. And I, you know, I took the moment, to notice that, you know, what was going on for me, you know, that it just wasn't, you know, I didn't have to just respond to that feeling of wanting to eat. And I took time to notice that what was really going on, that I was just overtired. And I needed to just, you know, relax and notice that and just let the feeling be. So I think I've gotten better at that over this past year. And speaking of technology, I guess this isn't really technology per se, but I'm very much into ancestry stuff, and I've gotten more adept at finding more recent relatives this past year. So I've been feeling rather pleased about that. I guess that's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Al. I always enjoy your input, and you know, I was thinking, reflecting back on something you alluded to or talked about that Kat had also brought up, and that was that whole introspection thing. I think that it's absolutely it only makes sense that we would go to that place when we are feeling somewhat cut off from other people in certain ways. And this year has given me an opportunity to self-reflect in a lot of ways. And I've worked with a mentor who has helped me get a little more in touch with the essence of my being and my motivations and my raison d'etre, reason for being. And it's been a good time to do that work. Not having the same kind of busyness that I might normally have been engaged in at down times, I've had the opportunity to do a lot of self-reflection. So, you know, I just wanted to make that comment. Kat, is there anything that you'd like to comment upon that Al just said?
Yeah, I really find it quite refreshing that he was talking about having self-awareness. It's something that if people actively sought to have self-awareness, the world would be a lot calmer, because suddenly people would be stopping and saying, now why am I feeling like I'm not unloved here? And what is the factual experience that I'm having? Does it match up to the feeling I have inside? No, it doesn't. All right, I'll go and read a book, and I won't start this big horrible argument that then ends up in somebody hurt and I'm in jail. You know, like it would just make the whole world a lot better if people were more self-aware and started to think about why they were feeling or thinking the way that they were. And obviously I was talking about he was tired and then he felt like he needed to eat. And so he started to think, why do I feel like I need to eat when actually I don't think I'm hungry? Actually, I'm a bit tired. That's just a habitual thing. So he's become in control of his body rather than his body being in control of him. And that's an excellent, you know, step in the self-mastery process. So I really commend you, Al, for that. But I also encourage anyone who's listening to review any time they're having some sort of feeling or thought that is not a guided feeling or thought, that it's a misguided feeling or thought. Why am I having that feeling and thought? Does it match up to the fact before me? Should I follow through with that, or should I go and do something else and distract myself? And, the world would be such a more peaceful place. And I'm hoping, because Al has said that he had this self-awareness about something simple like that, that perhaps a lot of people started to go into self-awareness as well. Because if we did that, that would be a massive evolution for humanity. It would put a lot of mental health professionals out of work. and police and other people, you know, emergency services would be a bit bored on their shifts. But, you know, things would be a lot better. Human beings would be a lot happier. It's a simple thing, but it can be quite a difficult thing. But when we choose to do it, we can really choose to change our lives for the better. So, yeah, I think that's really exciting what Al said then.
I do, too. It's, you know, it's just amazing what we can do for ourselves and with ourselves. So, Al, thank you for that contribution. Is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No. Well, other than, you know, it resonates for me very much what Kat is saying about awareness. It's a very important aspect in my life as of late in a lot of other areas. And you know, I've started participating in some meditation groups on Zoom, which is something I had done a long time ago in the past, but it really centers me, helps me with that whole awareness process that Kat was talking about. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks, Al. So, Kat, where shall we go from here?
Well, we're talking about how have you, for those of you who've just tuned in, we're talking about how have you personally grown and evolved in 2020. And we'd love to hear what you have to say in regards to that. You can click on our page, The Healing Circle, with David Clark and Kat Edwards on Facebook. And you can dial the number that's written there on the news feed, or you can simply type in your feelings in regards to how you have personally grown, and we'll read that out on the air.
Sounds good. Well, I will check out Facebook just in case.
Absolutely.
Before the show... Go ahead.
No, go on. No, you go on.
No,
No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Right. Before we began the show, I was looking for a little bit of guidance along the lines of personal growth. And one of the things I was thinking was, how can you improve it? And one of the things that was on the list, or a couple of the things that were on the list, are practices that I've developed. And so that was very affirming. But the first thing for me was to start to reflect at the beginning, well, reflect at the end of the day about how I've handled things during the day and what, if any, changes I might need to make in my course of direction or amends that I might need to make. And then in the morning, I've tried to be a little bit more cognizant of what it was that I wanted to accomplish in the day. But finding a mentor was a big thing for me. I have several, and Kat is one of them. But I'm doing a lot of written work with a woman named Trish, who has often been on our show. And she has a lot of wisdom and a lot of feedback for me that's been very helpful and empowering to me. So some of the other things that I was reading about were reading about what it is that you want to improve, creating a strong practice regimen, finding others that push you and train you, and boy, that's a big one, to challenge yourself with the people in your life, to find people that are willing to go out on a limb and help you out in areas that you might be blind about, because we all have our blind spots. And also to create a reward system and to stay honest with yourself. Those were some of the things that I was reading about. and I had another thought, and it just eluded me. So I just wanted to put that in there, Kat. What were you going to say?
I like that you're getting a mentor because coaching and mentoring is obviously my field, but it is so important for people to have someone to bounce something off. And a mentor is different to a coach in that they're an expert in a field and you go to them for support in that field and get direct help. Whereas a coach doesn't have to be an expert in any field that you're into. They just have to help you to pull out of yourself the answers and assist you in achieving your goals. They're your champion, but they are also the person that you have to be accountable to. So you don't have anyone else in your private circle, your friends or your family. You can have a coach, or if you have friends and family, but you want to keep them out of it so that you can be achieving independently, you would go for a coach or you would go for a mentor depending on what you want to achieve. So I think that's excellent that you've done that, because that really will help you grow exponentially. But when we're looking at personal evolution and how you and I respectively have evolved over 2020, I would say for me, one of the things that happened to me was there was a de-evolution in my musculoskeletal health. And that was because I was pursuing an interest, which is acting has been most of my life. And in the class that I was in, a woman assaulted me in such a way that it could be seen as just all in good fun, but it wasn't. And that assault caused me to have a good solid 6 months of lots of bed rest, lots of seeing the chiropractor and physio, and lots of high-powered pain-killing drugs, which is something that I had stopped doing through going to karate, doing my yoga exercises, and also meditation. I had worked very, very hard to get painkillers out of my life because I wanted to have a completely clean system and I wanted to sort myself out. I have chronic whiplash and all the complications that go with that. Including atrophy in the muscles that directly support the cervical spine. So all the other muscles that are in my neck are in constant spasm to help that, to pick up the slack. So that person caused a de-evolution in my musculoskeletal health, which absolutely knocked me for a six in many, many, many ways. To get regain control of my health has taken a long time, and there are aspects of it that I am still having to regain. But what it did was it made me feel more resolved, and I had to give up karate from that time on, which was early February, until karate came back in mid-August after the lockdown eased, and then I could only do it a couple of days a week. And then once we moved house, I struggled to keep it up because my body couldn't do both. My body couldn't move house and unpack and go to karate. So one had to take over from the other, and the most important, which was get the house sorted out. So I didn't see a mentor as you did, but I did let my body be my mentor. I did let my body tell me what it needed, what she needs, what is important. And because I had that time out where I was in bed, laying there in pain, knowing it was my neck and it was affecting other parts of my body, I began to become more aware of other things that were going wrong with my body. And because of that self-awareness of having the time to listen and to hear and not be caught up in, I've got to work, I've got to, you know, when you work for yourself, it's not just going out and doing the job that you do. It's all the stuff in the background. And sometimes you're up late at night, early mornings. Anyone who's an entrepreneur knows, you know, an employee puts in 8 hours a day, an entrepreneur puts in 20. So I had to stop all of that and listen. And what I listened to was, I was fat, I was tired, and I was grumpy. And I had a very sore abdomen. And that was on top of all the other stuff. So I allowed my body to be my mentor and to teach me what she needed. And so I went to the naturopath and I got help and I got a diagnosis. So I was very, very glad that I went because I was heading towards a chronic illness and a very painful death if I didn't get the help that I got. So I would say, you know, you're talking about a mentor for your creative side, and I'll match you in that mentorship with actually listening to my body. How's that?
Sounds good to me. But we all seem to exist at a body level first and foremost, even though I think that probably when I look beyond that, sometimes it starts with spirit, but spirit breathes into body, and body is what we have, and that seems to be my starting point a lot of the time, and I really liked what you had to say. That was very creative, speaking of creativity.
Well, you know, I've been privileged to read some of your work, and I really love it, and I'd like to see it published, and I'd like to see it grow into something bigger than you and really positively make a difference in the world.
Thank you.
So I know the journey that you've been on, and I don't know how much of that you want to share, and you don't have to, but I want to publicly say that if you can get on over to David Clark's page on Facebook, look him up on his website and buy his books. Now, we've got all these creative people out there in the world, and they're masters at what they do, and they're not known of. There's only a few that get to the top, and they're there because they've been given a break. If you start to look at the biographies of some of these people who have made a big success, it's because somebody else gave them a break. But not all the time do you get that break. I've got a friend who is as gifted at guitar as you are at writing, David. He's up there with Santana and Eric Clapton. His name's Ben Eaton, and he now lives in London. I actually went to high school with him. And he used to live in Brisbane. I got him to play at our high school reunion. He was a year ahead of us in school. And he's doing quite well in London. But I would like to see him become a megastar. And not for his own personal gratification, but for the fact that he is somebody whose contribution to music needs to be heard on a world level, because when he plays that guitar, he is expressing the language of the universe. And it is the same as you. When you are writing and you're in that mode, the eloquence and the excitement and the way of your writing, it draws you in, and you suddenly have a movie in your mind. The words are jumping into a movie in your mind, and that movie is telling the story to you. It seems to me like when I'm reading your work, the reading is secondary to the experience I'm having when I'm actually immerse in the story.
Hmm.
So we need to have that out there. I want you to have that big break. I know you've gone and approached people and done the work that they've asked you to do, and then they've let you down. And I've seen that happen to you too many times. Now's the time. I wish for humanity that those of us who have creative, intuitive minds are valued and are able to come to the fore and make the kind of contribution to the world that evolves us, rather than us be sat in the background and only their mathematical, mechanical mindset is the one that's valued and paid well. And those who are artists are ignored, defunded, and put out to dry. You know, that happens so much, yet the creative aspect of humanity gives us all the color.
Mm.
And, you know, that car that you get into and drive, well, it was a designer who put the body of that car together. And I can tell you that as much as people love what's under the bonnet, they love the look and shape of a car too. A 1950s Jaguar, it stands out amongst, you know, cars as something that is seen as a thing of beauty. Why? Because some excellent, creative-minded person put that together. So I wish for you and all intuitive, creative people that going forward into this decade, you get that break that you need. That humans who have money and power stop putting it into only thinking in a sense of materialism and a square. And they start to recognize that we need these masters, and we need to find them, and we need to bring them to a fore. Rant over.
Oh, well, that's great. And thank you for the feedback that you've given me and all of the positive wishes that go along with that. I really am honored. And I'm also looking at the clock. We're coming to the end of the hour, and I don't remember who is on tap to do the meditation for tonight. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, let's try this out. And I may have done this before, and if so, just go with me, please. Please take a moment and either close your eyes, if you're comfortable, or find a spot in the room that you can focus on so that you can let all other thoughts drift away. And if any come up that don't have to do with the meditation, just observe them. Let them go up like bubbles in the water and release. And so I ask you now to take a deep cleansing breath, counting in to the count of a slow four. And then exhaling out through your mouth to the count of a slow four. And repeat two more times, breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. And now I want you to imagine yourself flying through the air on the wings of a bird, not knowing how you got there, but suddenly being released to the breeze and gently falling to the ground. For you are a seed. You are a seed for all that you can become. And you fall onto the ground, and you take your spot in the ground, and the rain starts to fall, and you feel nourished, and you dig a little deeper, just a little deeper, as the rain drives you down further into the ground. And within a short period of time, you start to develop small shoots, the beginning of your roots, and they seek to extend themselves into the earth as you draw nutrients from the soil and from the water that occasionally falls from above. And you start to grow up, rise up out of the seedling that you once were, for the seedling has begun to grow and mature and evolve. And as your roots dig deeper into the earth, a shoot appears up through the soil as it starts to head in the direction of the sun overhead. And so the days, the weeks, the months, and the years pass, and you find yourself continuing to grow as you reach up toward the heavens and begin to sprout your branches. And one day, you look back and you see what a mighty oak you have become. And you learn this because that's what you were always intended to be. And you continue to grow as the years go by. And you become mighty. You become strong. You become all that you can be. And so, now, when you're ready, open your eyes or shift your focus and come back to the room in which you are. Take another deep breath. Shake your hands and your feet if you need to. Come back into your body and know that you are mighty. Know that you are strong. Know that you have beautiful, big branches that are reaching up toward the heavens, and that only the sky is the limit, for there's so much more in the universe and universes beyond. And so, that's it for today. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Al. And thanks to everybody who's tuned in. And Happy New Year. And I'll be putting on the Healing Circle page in the news feed links to David author website. Please go along there and buy one of his books and support him. And also Ben Eaton's website, and you can listen to his music and purchase some of his music. Please support him on iTunes.
Thank you, Kat. Thanks, Al.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, take good care. And good night, everybody. Join us again next week at the same day and time. And if you do have a suggestion for a topic, please post it to our Facebook fan page, which once again is The Healing Circle with David Clark, spelled with an E, and Kat Edwards, like the animal Kat. Okay, good night.